Hey, it's Alante here. Just want to take a moment and say thanks for listening to this audio blog. Blacken in Grad School was created to encourage and inspire people of color to and through the grad school journey. Enjoy. What's up, y'all? It's Alante, and I'm back with another podcast, audio blog. Still trying to figure out what the hell this is, but thanks for tuning in. I finally released the podcast on iTunes. I'm grateful for the support so far and hoping that I can continue to add to your life as I share my journey through this graduate school struggle. So this week is getting ready for the holidays, right? So Thanksgiving just wrapped up and the semester's here. So it's time for Lessons from the Trap, which every week I pick my favorite song that may or may not actually be from the trap, but I like the title, about and kind of apply it to graduate school life or, you know, like real life. I mean, even though some people's real life is a trap, but it's not mine, right? Well, maybe grad school is a trap. I don't know. It depends on how you perceive things, but whatever. It's called Lessons from the Trap, and this week's song is Yo Gotti, Around the World. Okay, number one, I did not know that I was like a Yo Gotti fan. Like, Apple Music has a Yo Gotti Essentials. I did not know that either. I thought he was kind of like an obscure rapper who had a couple of like one-hit wonder type joints, but wasn't like popping. You know, of course, Break It Up is out right now and Juice is out, and I love both of those songs. And so I was like, you know what? I think I might like Yo Gotti. Let me check out his album. And y'all, I low-key like rock with it like a lot. It's quite intriguing actually that I am interested in it, because I'm not about none of the life he talk about, but with Around the World, I think the really cool thing is that he's talking about, you know, been all around the world, I've had all these experiences. And no matter what, I'm still true to, you know, his home is Memphis, but, you know, to my home and who I am and what made me this way that brought me to this point that I can do all these amazing things. And to me, that's just like anyone going through this graduate school journey. For me, it's just a reminder, like, that I have had humble beginnings and I'm proud of them. I like to remind them at times that I went to an HBCU, you know, that I'm from Detroit and I went to Detroit Public Schools. Like, yeah, I'm not ashamed of that at all. And no matter what, I'm always going to put on for my city. Because, you know, people who aren't from Pittsburgh, Detroit, oh my God, love to say how dangerous, scary, blah, blah, blah Detroit is, y'all. Detroit is not dangerous. It's like any other city. If you don't pay attention, you can get got. You can get got in Pittsburgh just as quickly as you can get got in Detroit. You just gotta watch where you are and pay attention to your surroundings. Like any city, you can get got in New York, you can get got. And when I say get got, like you can get robbed or, you know, get yourself in a precarious situation if you're just not being vigilant about, you know, who you're around and what you getting into. So I hate it. I hate when people always talking shit about Detroit. So I love to be like, no, I'm from the city and I've never lived in the suburbs. I went to Cass Tech. So I went to a high school downtown. Like I'm from the city through and through. I'm from city proper, which I like to say. Like I'm from within the city limits, no shade. Cause like my best friend, we went to high school together, but my best friend Chelsea is from Southfield and she's still dope, still cool, you know, it doesn't take anything away from her from being from the suburbs, but, you know, people just, I don't know, it's like, no, I'm not, whatever kind of black person you were probably thinking I am, I'm probably not. So But at the same time, talking about, you know, being, repping your hood and being where you're from, you can't just rep it and just be like, I'm out here, I'm from Detroit, or I'm from, you know, whatever black city, or, you know, wherever you're from, and but like still have no connection. Like, I think it's really important to maintain a genuine connection to whatever home is. And so that's being involved in your community in some way, being, you know, still close with your family, if you want to be, or your friends, or whatever your community is, at home, and like embracing that. And also, like, I think it becomes a little bit different navigating it as a graduate student. And I don't know what it is about graduate school, it just like opens your eyes to a lot of just different things, and you now have these academic terms to use for your different experiences or things that you're seeing in your family. Like, you know, even though I'm, you know, I don't study like anything in the social sciences, but this semester I've been learning about transportation and intelligent transportation systems and how they work. And so when I go home now, I'm thinking, like, you know, why doesn't Detroit have metered ramps, or, you know, like something to do with the congestion during the football games and all of the sports games, because all of our arenas are downtown? Why, you know, is this part of the neighborhood, you know, not getting repaired at the same rate as, say, a downtown neighborhood? When you go home now, it's like, okay, I want to enjoy my family, I still want to see my friends, I still have work to do, and how do I balance all of that is, I think, where I find myself getting a little anxious about going home. So I went home for Thanksgiving, and at first I wasn't going home. Like, I told them in October, like, I'm not coming back, I'll see y'all at Christmas, don't ask about coming home. But then, you know, like maybe a week before Thanksgiving, I was like, man, I kind of miss home. I would actually prefer to be home than to be in Pittsburgh. You know, I don't know anybody, sitting here isolated. I wasn't really feeling my best, and I thought, you know, maybe a visit home would make me feel better. So I get all my stuff Wednesday, I go home. Saturday morning I drive back, but I got nothing done from Wednesday to Saturday afternoon, and I really needed those 3 days of work getting done. And so because of that, it was like, you know what, I probably won't go home for Thanksgiving again until I'm done with my coursework, because I don't have the bandwidth to handle being at home and getting my work done. It's just really hard for me because, before I moved to Pittsburgh, I was helping my mother caregive for my grandfather, and my grandfather is literally, y'all, like my favorite person on this entire earth. Like, I love him so much. And we talk every single Friday. Since I went away to college in 2007, my grandfather has called me every single Friday to ask me how my week went, what I'm learning in school. He likes to ask me what I ate for dinner. And we talk, and he can explain my master's thesis as well as I can. He can explain what I'm working on now. He's getting it, you know, we're working on it every week. He was a former math teacher in Benton Harbor, Michigan, and also integrated a white basketball team in Minnesota as a basketball player. He's just super dope. After my grandmother passed, which was about 20 years ago now, he sold the house and went to the Peace Corps and lived in Tonga. I just want to just emphasize how amazing my granddad is. We're writing a book for him, like, for real. And so, I just love him. And so we're talking, I'm helping him do all these things, you know, we're just catching up. He loves to hear about my work, and so I talked to him about it, and I just focus on spending time with him, and then I go and spend time. If it's late, okay, so then I stay with him to like, what, 9? So my friends don't want to get together until like 10 or 11, so I can stop by the house, I had a mom and my stepdad, you know, get dressed real quick. And actually, half the time, I don't even stay with my parents because my homegirl in Detroit, I have a bed at her house, so I can go over there and get dressed because I'm about to meet up with her anyway and go out with her. And my parents live dumb far from everything, so she lives closer, so I like to go to her house. So then because my friends are like, yo, where are you at? Like, you home? We about to go out, da-da-da-da-da. All of which I want to do, but I still have I even talked about school, y'all? Like, I haven't done any schoolwork. And so, and then I still haven't seen my mother. I haven't seen any other family besides my grandfather. One of my cousins were like the same age, so I see him a lot, just out, like we just be out. Cousin, my mama, and my granddad, I'm seeing friends. And I have like a relatively, like I'm very, I don't say a lot of, people joke that I have a lot of friends, but whatever. I love humans and I'm a very social person. So I have a lot of people that I like to stay connected to and I like to go see. And so, now is the time of year where I go see like my line sister who has kids, or, you know, the people who I don't see all the time. It's like, it's time to go see them. But now I live a far away, so the people that I used to hang out with during the week and shit also want to see me, plus the people that I don't see regularly want to see me. So, and I want to see them too. Let's keep it clear. And so all of that equates to like no work being done when I'm at home. And so I have to make my visits home very short, but they're also still a 4.5-hour drive. So that's 9 hours and I'm not being able to do work because I'm like driving. And so, no lie, y'all, your girl be tired. Like, after I be running all day because I like to get up early to see my granddad, and I like to spend time with my mom, and then, you know, I want to see a lot of people and like give them like quality time, not like an hour. Like, I'm definitely a quality time, that's like one of my love languages. Like, I'm really serious about like spending quality time with people that I care about. And so it just ends up being like minimal time I'll spend with like any one person or like someone I'm going to see is like 3 hours. That's a full day, right, of trying to see, like, picking the people you want to see and then seeing them all. And again, so what I have to do sometimes is like not tell anyone I'm coming home now, and that sucks because I have to get work done. Or now, like for Christmas, I'm not going home until the 23rd because most of my friends who live in Detroit are not from Detroit, so they'll all be home for the holidays by the 23rd, so I don't have to worry about them trying to see me, and I can just do my work relatively uninterrupted. And I don't really like having to lie about being in town. I don't want anyone to think that I don't want to see them. It's just that I have so much work to do. And people are like, oh, you know, stop and treat yourself. I'm like, I don't really even have time to treat myself because I just don't. I got too much work to do. It's never done. And so these hours I'm spending away from it are stressing me out and giving me anxiety. And so I just be going through it. And then, so it's the one thing is just balancing like my social life and trying to figure out how best to explain to my friends, like, look, this is where I'm at. And, you know, I think I might end up having to just do that because I still do go home once a month for my brunch. And with that, I have to say, you know, look, I am, you know, I love you guys so much. You are some of my closest friends, the most amazing people I've met. However, I cannot hang all day. And I went to see my best friend this last time I was home because I didn't see her the last time I was home. This is, okay, I got 3 best friends. But anyway, my best friend Ashley, we were talking or whatever, catching up because I didn't see her. I haven't seen her pretty much since I moved. And so, because she doesn't like to go out. So I was like talking to her like how stressed I get about coming home and wanting to see people but still having work to do. And a really great suggestion that she had was just telling people like where you'll be for a couple of hours and letting them come to you, and that'll probably drop the amount of people that are seeing me a lot, right? Like, if you say you rock with me to say the way that you say you do, just come by and see me, and that'll be like my time that I'm not doing work. It's like, hey, I'm about to be here doing, you know, this. If you want to come out, this is what I'm doing. And I think that's a really great way, like maybe making like one big social activity where you invite a lot of your friends and or family, and just doing it like in one fell swoop, where you like, okay, and I saw everybody, I talked to everybody, I'm done with my socializing because I can't do anything else, and that was their opportunity, and if they take advantage of it, I'll see them next time when I have one. And I think that's a really great strategy. So you could not tell me when you're home and just do family stuff. You can maybe offer, have an event, be it like wine at your house or, you know, game night or something like that, or like go out to do an activity for everybody, but like putting the ball in their court instead of having it be in yours. So next is like then like explaining your work. So depending on what you're working on, I think this conversation can vary quite a bit. Like if your work is like really complex, and honest, let me say it like this. I think that everyone's work is complex and has merit at the graduate level. Like your research, your interest is beyond generic, general education, which we get, when we claim a major in undergrad, right? Like there's just more detail to the work that you're doing. When you are in graduate school. And so with that, you have just a lot of different stressors. I think the most irritating thing is like, to me, is coming off, the thing that I like to avoid, and this might not be everybody, but I never want for my family to think that my work is out of reach to them. That is very important to me, into explaining to my family and friends that what I'm doing isn't extraordinary. It does not require some special mind. You could also understand it and do it too, but everybody don't want to go to grad school. Shit, some days I don't want to go to grad school, but I do. And I decided that I'm taking this path. And so I don't ever want to become the snobby academic who can't explain shit to like regular people. Because no matter what, like because of my life and who I am and the people that are in my life by choice and by blood, there are going to be people that I want to understand what it is that I do. And so what I try to do when I'm talking to family, especially like older family, is really just using the layman terms, ideas of whatever I'm working on. And I've, finding like really short ways to explain my work. So I'll go back to an example for my master's, because I'm not going to lie, I'm still figuring out what I'm doing for my doctoral research. And so to explain, I can't explain it. So instead of saying autonomous vehicles, right? I say self-driving cars. I mean, it's the exact same thing. And I'll say, like, I'm looking at self-driving cars and, like, what they'll do when we are, the impacts. Like, what is their effect on different neighborhoods and on different, groups of people or something like that? Or, like, are there any ethics related to that? And so, with that, I feel like everybody can get that, right? It's not... highly sophisticated. Instead of saying like, I'm looking at the environmental, implications of the, think of fancy words, insert them here, because I learn more and I find like, okay, certain opinions we have are incorrect. Certain views we might have might not be based completely on truth, and so I feel like I can add some more information to it. But I'm never pushy trying to shove it down somebody's throat to understand what I'm saying. And I talked about this last week in my dating episode, and I feel this way about a lot of the way that I navigate. I don't like the idea that being black and in graduate school is spectacular. The reason I don't like that is because we should not still be underrepresented in graduate education, and that's just really my opinion. And so when I say I'm in graduate school, I want it to be normal. I don't want this to be special. It's normal. I feel like white people, Asian people go get, you know, graduate degrees like it's nothing. Nobody's surprised. And as such, I want it to be the same situation for people that look like me. And so when I talk about it, I like to say it very matter of fact, because it's not a big deal. And that's the way that I normalize it, okay? And I'm not saying, I wish y'all could see me because my hands is up. Like, I'm not saying that it's right or perfect approach. That's just my way of doing it. And so when I talk about my work, you know, that's why I try my best to make it very normal. Like, oh, you're doing research? Yeah, because doing research is what people do. It's a career. It's not that big of a deal, right? It's not even a big deal. So let's not act like it is. But even with that, right, like, I'm talking about, like, how I kind of don't even talk about what I'm doing fully at length. It's still being proud of your work. I'm working on that. I don't have any points of help about it. Maybe I'll ask my Twitter, because I have a Twitter, y'all. But I'm not doing, I don't know how to do it. It's not that I'm not proud of my work, because, I mean, I haven't done enough to really be proud of, I'll admit, like, this semester, like, I just started, but being, like, it's, like, you know, striking that balance between being snobby and being proud, but, like, being, you know, honest and not, like, I don't, like, sugarcoating your work to, it's not to make others feel better, but, again, to normalize, but people can perceive it as you're trying to, like, dumb it down for other people. So, you know, how do you kind of get into the sweet spot that is being proud of your work, being relatable still, you know, behaving and still being relatable to your family and friends, and also explaining what it is that you do. So we're able to, you know, talk to be, you know, very healthy. So I was like, okay, we're gonna call all your friends today, and this is perfect also, right? Like, all he's doing is talking. I think I called like 7-8 people that day. So, and he talked to all of them for like 30-45 minutes. So I got to do a lot of work. Actually, I think I was posting the podcast. And so with that, the last person we called was his friend. I don't remember his name now. I feel so bad. We called his friend, I think Otis. We called Otis. This is one of the few nice, when my grandfather integrated that basketball team, some people treated him nicely, others did not. And Otis was one of the few players who was nice to him and was his friend when he was integrating this basketball team. I think he was like the only black person on campus, maybe. So, with that, he checks on a couple of people, like, you know, friends from childhood, brothers, you know, sisters are past. You know, there's a lot of people he checks on, but Mr. Otis is one of them. So we called him, and he's like, you know, how you been doing? You know, how's your holiday? He's like, you know, it's fine. My daughter was working, so I was here. I was home alone. And he asked if he had, you know, kept up with some of their friends in common or whatever. And he was like, nobody calls me. My family doesn't call me. My, you know, none of my friends call me anymore. I just sit here at home alone. And, you know, my papa was like, well, I'm calling you. He was like, and I really appreciate it. And you know, because nobody checks on me. And he's like, I just, and hit he says it's one of his daughters. He's like, she gets up at 8:30, 9 o'clock and leaves work, and she doesn't come back home until 8:30, 9 o'clock. So he spends, you know, this man is like 80 plus. He's my grandfather's 86. He's like a friend from, actually, I gotta change all of this. So I don't, Mr. Otis is a childhood friend of my grandfather's. He's known him for like 70 years. And so he used to live around the corner from my granddad. He did not play basketball with Papa. All right. So he's like, nobody checks on me. I'm always home alone. Sometimes I see a rabbit or a deer when I'm sitting looking out the window. Y'all, that was some of the saddest. That was like so sad to me. And you could hear the sadness in Mr. Otis's voice about the fact that no one checks on him and how grateful he was that my grandfather was checking on him, just to see how he was doing. And he was like, you know, I'll call you more often and check on you. And he's like, I'd really appreciate that because I'm by myself all the time. And I know there's a lot going on around check on the strong friend and check on your homies, but like, let's not forget about the older people in our families or extended families who typically are spending a lot of time alone. Those people are, I don't know, it made me so sad. Like, the fact that there's a human, you know, and I know there's so many that like no one is checking on to make sure they're okay, because everyone is living their lives and trying to make it all work. But like, taking some time and putting it aside for an older person, I think is especially like great. And so I just wanted to implore you to think about somebody that maybe you don't check on as much as you should, that's older, and really think about how you can incorporate just checking on them into your day. And now I know that older people talk a lot. And you know why they talk a lot? Because don't nobody be checking on them. If you check on them every week, they ain't got as much, they don't have as much to talk about. I know it's kind of like bold to say, but also it's true. Like, oh, I don't even need to talk to you for an hour if I'm talking to you every week. I can talk to you for 10 minutes. My granddaddy and I, the longest a conversation between he and I might last 30 minutes, tops. And in the 30 minutes, I'm usually cooking, or I'm folding up some clothes, or, you know, doing something that's not work-related, but it's like I'm still productive with that time. And he appreciates it. Shit, honestly, no one else asks about my work at length, wants the details of it. So I'm happy to explain it to somebody and see if I'm learning anything this week, or, you know, I can tell him if I'm having a bad week, you know, and he can encourage me. So there's a lot of give and take. And I think the thing about graduate school is, right, it can be very isolating. And you feel like you're all alone. And then there's someone who's older, who's lived this life, and they're also feeling the same way. So I really think that it would be useful for graduate students, especially, to check on older people, right? Like, we both lonely as hell. Just check on your grandma, check on your grandfather, your aunts, your uncles. If you know a Mr. Otis, like, Mr. Otis is now on my call list. Like, I'm gonna call him, you know, once every 2 weeks just to say hi. Like, are you okay? How are you doing? You know, and I'm not gonna talk to him long because I understand, you know, I have things I need to do and he's not my family, but he's by himself and there's nobody that thinks it's important to care for him. And so I'll do that. I don't really have a problem doing that. And so, yeah, that wraps up the podcast. And so just the highlights, because I feel like I have been rambling a little bit today, and I just did a 15-minute drive and talked like, only 8 minutes left of my drive, and I've talked to like 42 of them I've been talking. Have a strategy for when you go home, how you're gonna... Y'all, I just got lost as hell. Oh, shit. It's telling me... Oh, it's telling me to make a left. Okay. Sorry. Okay. Number one, have a strategy when you go home for balancing your schoolwork, family, and friends. Maybe consider having everyone come to your house or go to one activity or one to two activities and set the rest of the time aside for doing work. Or, you know, the other time spent with other family. Number two, find your personal sweet spot for explaining your work with pride, explaining your work with pride without being a snob, and, don't become the asshole know-it-all, cousin, 'cause nobody likes them, for real. And because your life is no better than anybody else's. And honestly, we all, most graduate students live below poverty level. So if you ever need to be reminded, let that humble you, right? Like, I don't make no money. People be like, oh, you, I don't make no money. I'm poor. Don't be impressed. This, I have no money. Like, for real though, like, don't get too high-tidy about yourself when you you legit don't have no money. Not that that means you have value because you don't have no money, but, you know, like, chill. And then most PhD students, our jobs don't even make us that much money, you know? Like, it's not like we're about to be making, not everyone's going to be making, you know, $200K a year as a professor. Like, or, you know, really in any field. I don't know how many people Ed actually works for. And we'll talk about that. And then putting together with that strategy of socializing and getting your work done and finding a good balance for that. And then the last one is check on your old people, not just your strong people. Add them to your list. Pick one, pick two, and check on them and just keep them, let them know that someone is thinking about them. That'll make a big difference in their life and in yours, because you never know what you'll learn. Like, talking to older people about their lives is amazing. And I would never know a lot of the stuff about my granddad if I never just sat and listened to him. Like, last time we were at home, it was funny, but he told me about, like, his college sweetheart and their relationship. I mean, I just want to say he bagged the Fulbright scholar, so that's popping. I mean, he was the only black guy, so he was attracted to white women. That's fine too. But it was really crazy because, I mean, I'm black, which means my mother was black, so obviously my grandfather married a black woman, my grandmother is black. But, you know, how he responded to her going away, you know, because the way the story is for my grandmother, let me not tell you my family business. Anyways, so, you know, telling me about his college sweetheart, or telling me about, like, his life. Also, my grandfather worked at the Playboy Mansion in Chicago. Like, his life is popping, y'all. I swear, like, it's crazy. He crossed Kappa in the 50s, so, like, back when pledging was above ground. I mean, just, it's just amazing the amount of different things I can learn just stopping and listening to him. Most of the time when a story comes with my granddad, I haven't even prompted it. I'm just, like, sitting there. Next thing I know, he's, like, rambling off a story to me. And I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. Like, this is amazing. Let me record this because he's so popping. I really want to do a podcast with him, but honestly, he's so hard of hearing that I feel like half the time he'd be like, what? Huh? And I just don't know how much editing I have the patience to do, because I barely edit these podcasts. I just delete. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. You'll never know what I delete because it gets deleted. But last one is check on your people, specifically the elderly and other vulnerable people in your family. And let them know that you love them, so that you will never let this degree get in the way of something that's very important, which is your community. Which brings us all the way back to lessons from the trap, been around the world, still rep for my hood. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a great week, and grad school is tough, but you are tougher. Hi, Alante again. I really want this project to be a resource for my fellow people of color and women in grad school. So if you have any questions or requests for topics, shoot me an email at alante@strengthsnotstrikes.com. That's ALLANTE at strengthsnotstrikes.com. Please remember to subscribe and review and share with your other friends in grad school. Thank you.